This is Carla Atherton, director of the Healthy Family Formula, and I am here with session 2 of the 3-session health empowerment coaching series, From Struggle to Harmony through the HFF Health Empowerment Method. So, welcome to session number 2, and this is getting into the goodies. Session 2, we're going to be talking all about getting grounded. And so what I talked about in session number 1 was about how I view health, how we view health and disease and the causes of disease, and getting, sort of cleaning the glass off to shift into a new understanding about health, and in turn gaining more empowerment in the outcome of our health. So it's really in our own hands. And the more we understand that, the better able we are to seek out ways to regain that control. So in session 2, I'm going to be talking about getting grounded, because in that HFF health empowerment method, we first stop and then we identify, which is an awareness. We gain an awareness and then we regain control. So right now we're going to be talking about how we stop and get grounded, because we can't really become aware if we're sort of like spinning out of control, or if we're stressed out, or if we're not listening to our bodies, if we're living hyper fast, or if we're in this reactionary medical model where we wait for a symptom to come up and then we react to it rather than respond. So really becoming aware and getting grounded and stopping are the first steps to becoming more empowered in our health. And so again, we can't become aware unless we can stop the chaos. And that's when we find relief. So why do we stop? Obviously, to gain awareness. And how do we gain awareness? Well, we listen, right? We listen to our bodies. We listen to the symptoms. We unpack and uncover what might be happening. And that's what we call, in functional medicine, root cause resolution. So we find out what's at the root, whether it be a mental, emotional issue or something physical in our environments. And then we address that so that we don't have these symptoms or the need for symptoms down the road. We reduce overwhelm, because when we're living in a state of stress constantly, that state of overwhelm really shuts down our abilities to stop, to assess, to, respond rather than react. So that will take practices of de-stressing, not distressing, but de-stressing, and of grounding, as I've said. And the need for this, why are we doing this? It's to move into a state of rest and repair, to encourage, like I was saying in the last session, post-event growth. So because all survival processes of the body and the mind can lead us to this post-event growth. It can make us stronger if we don't have such a hyper response that we actually succumb to it. So there is a level of nudging, of hermetic stress, just a little bit push forward so that we evolve and we become stronger. Now, if we're hyper stressed, if we are in that catabolic state, we won't move into this rest and repair. We're going to move into a more stressed, overwhelmed, sympathetic state that's just breaking us down. So I just want to say another thing about the intelligence of the body, and then we're going to talk a bit about the nervous system. So the intelligence of the body, right? We need to recognize that the body will always heal. It's forever healing. It's always in a state of repair. This is going on without us even having to do anything. We do obviously support our bodies with, healthful practices that we've been talking a little bit about already. But really, to understand that nothing our body does is an accident or even a malfunction, even when functioning is causing states of disease or discomfort, is very empowering. And it doesn't mean that we do whatever we want and we go to McDonald's and we, you know, don't sleep and you know, that dis-ease does not happen. That's not a denial. But it is really just a recognition that if we get out of the way, if we give our bodies the supports they need, our bodies are designed to be healthy. That should be our default. So let's talk a little bit about the nervous system now. So we're going to expand into some more discussion about why it is that health and disease are contingent on our interpretation of whether or not we are safe in this world. It's our level of safety. Because if we are feeling unsafe, we will move into different body processes that try to help us to survive. And if we are feeling safe, we move into the rest and repair. So I'm going to be sharing, and you'll see under this talk or this session, an infographic that I created with the help of a designer, but the information in this infographic was created from this model that I have learned about and really love, called the polyvagal theory, and also along with other understandings of how the brain works and our mechanism of survival and how very important that is, like really at the very crux or the very beginning of this, either whether we are well or feeling distressed or in a state of dis-ease. So let's start with the stress inputs, okay? So if you're looking at the infographic, either while I'm talking or after the fact, you will see that on the right-hand side are the stress inputs. So when we are feeling stressed, when we are keyed up, the cause of that can be multifactorial. So we can have mental, emotional stress. We have physical stress. We have the cell danger response, which is a biochemical response and really at the cellular level of not safe. I am not safe. The cells are actually responding in such a way. We have chemicals, metals, and biotoxins that can be contributors to stress, to a stressor on the body. Lack of sleep and rest. We can have reactive diets and things like agitating sensory inputs. So we have all these stress inputs, and I would actually add a couple more here to the mental emotional stress category, such as biological conflicts. And that's a new German new medicine concept, but same kind of idea as this mental emotional stress. So we have a nerve that goes alongside each side of our necks, and it's right along the same area as our carotid arteries. So we have, and that's called the vagus nerve. And that vagus nerve is the highway of communication between our brain and our bodies. So when we have these stress inputs, the information travels down this vagus nerve, telling our body how to respond to keep us safe. So when we have stress inputs, we'll have this either a sympathetic response. So we go into the sympathetic mode, and that's like not safe and we are reacting. Or we can also go into this dorsal vagal state, which is where we're literally so stressed that we're anticipating death or completely letting go. Like it's like literally can't do anything about it. I'm just going to play dead. And so what happens after that is that in the body, these stress responses that happen after we get those messages from the brain to the body, not safe, we're going to die, or we could die, we have our cells are catabolized for energy. So there's like this, they're broken down so that we can create more energy. We have a dysregulated immune system. We have GI and reproductive shutdown. So nothing's getting digested and we're not going to be able to reproduce. So if we see someone who is in a high state of stress with a job that they don't like, or they're in a bad relationship, or they have other kinds of stressors in their environment, they may have trouble conceiving because the organism is saying, I don't really care about reproducing right now or digesting my food, because we're not going to live until tomorrow if we don't address what's happening right now. Okay. So we can have imbalanced neurochemicals, imbalanced hormones, and inflammation, because the inflammation is trying to, there's this state of repair happening. So those are the responses. And so all of those things are happening. I mean, our blood, our heart rate goes up. We have like rapid breathing. All of those things happen because we're trying to get more oxygen to those extremities so that we can run away. We don't necessarily think about the future or tomorrow, any of that sort of thing, because again, imminent danger equals, you know, we need to get out right now to make sure that we survive until tomorrow. It is only when we are in the rest and digest and repair phase that we actually have a moment to breathe, to return to normal, to return to that state of rest and digest and repair necessary to actually, heal from dis-ease states. So if we are in this constant state with stress inputs, though, we go down that cascade, leading to that downstream effect of that, you know, from that fight, flee, freeze reactivity, that faint, shutdown, disengagement, isolation, and mistrust, we have chronic illness, and we have mental, emotional, and mood problems as well. Okay, so then there's this other thing can happen if we have relaxation inputs, right? If we have stress management, or if we are able to move through these mental and emotional stressors that can actually always happen in our lives, in a state of awareness where we have cultivated ways to actually handle these stressors that lead to more like a hermetic growth, right? Post-trauma growth, post-event growth, rather than it tearing us down and creating more reactivity. So things like breathing and meditation and mindfulness will lead us down that road. Meditative movement like Qigong and yoga, you know, thought, laughter, hanging out with friends, connection, sleep and rest, gentle diets, nourishing diets, and calming sensory inputs. So all of this will, what will happen, the vagus nerve will communicate this from the brain to the body, and telling the body through this ventral vagal response, or through that system of parasympathetic system, that we are safe. There is calm. We can become responsive because we're not going to die today if we don't get to the soccer game on time. So we can respond to that, put things into perspective, right? We can breathe through it. We can live through those days that in life. And so the relaxation responses of the body and mind would be repair and rebuild. We have immune function. The body functions the way it needs to in that relaxed state toward healing. This continuous healing and rest and digest and responsiveness. We have GI and reproductive function. So things are working. The pipes are moving and, you know, babies are being conceived and food is being digested. We have balanced neurochemicals. We have balanced hormones, and we don't have the need for inflammation because there is less damage to repair. And so these relaxation downstream effects are responsiveness. We have social engagement. We have intimacy and trust, and we have physical healing rather than chronic states of dis-ease, right? We have mental and emotional well-being. So how we handle stress greatly affects our overall health, both mental, emotional, and physical. Due to the effects of our endocrine, our nervous, and our immune systems. And what I call, actually, instead of immune system, I like to call it the repair system, right? The cleanup crew. Stress management and stress reduction techniques are really beneficial for both preventing and recovering from disease and dis-ease and what we might call as illness, as well as for living a balanced and healthy life. So through this relaxation response, right, we can regain control over our health. And we can identify triggers. We can identify originating conflicts and traumas and trapped emotions as well to help us, again, move into that continual state of healing. And so we can see the process of symptoms and discomfort as healing, and it will heal, right? And the opposite is true, though. You know, if we see symptoms, when we see symptoms, they can be physical, emotional, as pathology. If we see it as pathology, we will be in a perpetual state of dis-ease, right? Because we're saying that there's something wrong. But what we really want to understand is that there was something wrong, or that, and that our body's in a state of regaining wellness. Okay, so if we can understand that, as well as the nervous system and the importance of our relaxation inputs, we are in so much more of an empowered state to regain, recover, maintain a state of wellness most of the time. So I hope you enjoyed that session, session number two, getting grounded and getting off that crazy train, as that I like to call it. And so I have three questions that I want to leave you with again after this session. Do you feel that stress and stressors are affecting your health? And then how so? How do you feel that? Like, what do you think is actually affecting you, and how do you think it's affecting you? Are you having physical manifestation? Are you having mental and emotional manifestation of this state of perpetual dis-ease or stress? Second question, what do you want to learn more about in order to overcome this stress? And my third question to you is, what has your body been telling you?